Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
I was only 6 years old, and it was the hardest day of my young life at that point. It was the funeral of my favorite cousin. His name was Chris. Chris Lake Stallings. Chris is the one who would let me stay up at night playing Atari with him. Some of you are old enough to remember Ataris. Chris is the one who gave me my first Larry Bird basketball card. Chris is the one that taught me how to ride my bike. And he's the reason I lost my two front teeth as I flew over the handlebars of that bicycle. Chris was my hero. I was a kid. He was the cool teenager in high school. One night, Chris and his buddies were driving too fast, coming home from Hopkinsville, and he had a car accident, and he died. He was 17 years old. And I remember the funeral like it was yesterday. It was my first funeral to attend as a six-year-old. And I sat there on the second row on this side of East Katy's Baptist Church, and I buried my head in my mom's lap throughout the duration of the funeral. I remember feeling like the service would never end, and I just wanted the preacher to stop talking. It just felt like torture. I laid there burying my head in my mom's lap, and I remember squeezing my eyes as hard as I could because I didn't want anybody to see me cry, because I didn't think I was supposed to cry. Big boys don't cry. You gotta be tough. After all, the pastor, Brother O.D. Boyd, he said, my cousin was in heaven, so why should I cry? I should be happy for him, right? Lying there as a kid on what was the worst day of my young life at that point, I felt all this pressure that I had to keep it together and be strong, because big boys don't cry. That is not the Christian approach to sadness. Last week, we were in Mark chapter 2, and we learned that the kingdom of God is not like a funeral wake. The kingdom of God is more like a wedding party, and the primary emotion of the Christian experience is one of joy, because Jesus has come to save us from our sins. But the scripture also says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is an occasion for everything. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Many of us do a pretty good job at laughing and dancing. But often as Christians, we're not very good at the weeping and the mourning part. Please turn with me to the book of Psalms, if you have your Bible. It's the very middle of your Bible, Psalm chapter 6. Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. The book of Psalms is a book of lyrical poems, many of which were set to music. So the Psalms are the ancient hymn book of God's church. So that Paul says in Ephesians 5, we are to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're going to sing a couple of these psalms today, later in the service. But these psalms, these poems, express the writer's emotions to God, put to music. And the truth is, the book of Psalms is a lot more like a collection of sad country songs than it is contemporary Christian radio. 40% of the Psalms are entirely songs of lament or sadness. 70% of all the Psalms contain elements of lament or sadness. Think about that. 70% of the chapters in the longest book of the Bible are about sadness. And many of us this morning can relate to the writers of the Psalms. When I'm sad, when I'm depressed, I read the Psalms and I feel like I'm reading my own journal entries. Some of you know what that's like. Many of us in this room this year already have suffered tremendously. Many in this room have buried family members in the past several months. A number of marriages are barely holding on. Others have family members that are facing terminal illness. Others have experienced job loss or financial devastation. Kids have grown up and moved off. Dads have given away their daughters in marriage. And you're so happy for them, of course. But it was just yesterday when you took your baby girl to her first daddy-daughter dance, and then you blinked, and you're giving her away, and you're happy for her, but you're sad. Many in this room are facing debilitating anxiety, depression, mental health crisis. We're hurting, we're sad. And maybe you feel like your soul is bleeding out. Well, today's word from the Lord is for you. Would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word, the words of David, the man after God's own heart, but also the man with a broken heart. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Thank you. You can be seated. Lord, we pray your blessing over the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't know the context of this sad song. We don't know the details. We just know it's a cry for help from a man who's facing terrible suffering and pain. You hear the pain in David's voice as he pens these words. In verse 1, he cries out, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. In David's mind, at least, the pain and the suffering he's experiencing here is a part of God's discipline upon him for maybe some sin he's committed. David feels like God is mad at him. Have you ever felt that way? Let's talk about that for a moment. Sometimes we bring pain and God's discipline into our lives because of our sin. It's easy as a church just to skirt around that. But sometimes we ask for it. I can only recall maybe 3 or 4 times in my life when my dad whipped me. Mama did most of that. Well, she tried. She'd have me go cut a switch. And I'd come back with a little twig. And then Mom would chase me around while I covered my rear with my bare hands, and she would usually just get tired and give up and just say, well, just go read your Bible. That'll be your punishment. But I remember about 2nd or 3rd grade lying to my dad. Dad was a pretty gracious man, but Dad had no grace for lying. That was the unforgivable sin in my house. And so I remember Dad spanking me. with a belt. But as I received that spanking, or that whooping, as we called it in Katie's, I knew one thing, I deserved it. I deserved it. Sometimes life becomes really hard because we ask for it. Our sin has consequences. And sometimes the discipline of the Lord is so severe, it seems like he's angry with us. This is clearly how David feels in verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. So the biblical principle is this. Sometimes we do bring pain and God's discipline into our lives because of our sin. But because Jesus has died for our sin, when we fall under God's discipline, it's not because God is angrily pouring out his wrath and judgment upon us. Jesus took that wrath and judgment on the cross. There's a difference in wrath and discipline. When we fall under God's discipline as his children, it's not the fury of an angry God. It's the love of a tender father who loves us enough to discipline us lest we hurt ourselves even more. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, my son, notice he uses father-son language, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. This is something a Christian should expect. We should anticipate the discipline of our father. He says, for the Lord disciplines the one, what? He loves. And he chastises every son whom he receives. So the discipline of God in the life of a Christian is not a sign of God's hatred or fury or that he's rejected us. The discipline of God in the life of a Christian is the proof that God loves us and he accepts us in Christ. Sometimes we bring pain into our lives through our sin, but very often the pain and the sadness in our life is not a result of our sin. It's not something we've done or our parents have done. But it's just the fact that we live in a broken, fallen world where bad things happen to godly people. That's more often than not the reason we suffer. I think about Annie's younger sister, Kelly, whom many of you have prayed for 20 years, as long as you've known her. She's an incredible young woman of God. It's Kelly and her husband, Abby, and their twins, Roman and Ruby. Annie's with them now in Illinois, celebrating the 4th. Kelly Beth was born with a very rare and aggressive form of cancer. She was given a 2% chance of living. She spent the first few years of her life in the Ronald McDonald House in St. Louis. God miraculously healed her. It's why my wife Annie's always believed in miracles and the power of prayer and healing. She saw it happen. Now Kelly's 38 years old, but she's still been fighting cancer her whole life. Chemo, radiation, she's had 9 different cancer-related surgeries, the latest of which was just last month. And every time she goes back to the doctor, she has to live in fear that it's back again. And Kelly's done nothing to deserve it. She's a godly woman. But the world is cursed. And there's this terrible disease called cancer that according to the National Cancer Institute, 40% of people will be diagnosed with cancer at some point in our lives. And that's not a punishment from God. That's the result of living in a broken, fallen, cursed world where bad things happen to God's people. Life's not fair. Life doesn't play by the rules. Life is filled with pain and loss and sadness. But to grow in Christ's likeness, we've got to learn to be honest about it. David is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he pens these words in Psalm 6. This is not a man who's lost his mind. This is not a man who's out of touch with reality. This is a godly man, a man after God's own heart, who through the Holy Spirit is learning to feel and is learning the emotions that Christ himself would experience. Notice how honest David is about his dire. And he doesn't sugarcoat it, he doesn't put on a mask. In verse 2, he says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. I'm languishing. That phrase, languishing, it's the process of the withering away of leaves and crops. So David is saying, God, I'm withering away in pain and sadness. My life is being scorched. My soul is in a great famine and there's no relief. And then the second part of verse 2, he says, O Lord, my bones are troubled. In verse 2, the word bones in the Hebrew refers to the core of someone's very being. It's the innermost part of who we are. David is broken and sad all the way down to the core. This is soul pain. This isn't, I'm having a bad day. This isn't, my team lost last night. This is, I'm dying on the inside. My soul is disintegrating from within. And what makes this pain so painful is when you don't see any end in sight. He says in verse 3, my soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? How long, God, must my soul go on suffering? It's one thing to be sad. It's another thing to feel like you'll never be happy again. The worst part of depression isn't the depression itself. It's the thought that you'll never smile again. But notice how honest he is with God. Oh, Lord, how long? Have you forgotten about me, God? I'm dying down here. Then he cries out in verse 4, turn, O Lord. In other words, God, it seems like your face has turned away from me. Would you turn back to me? Would you look at me again? Would you care again? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. God, I know you love me because the word says you do. It doesn't feel like it. Would you turn and show me love again? It's as though he's saying, God, I know you love me. Man, I sure don't feel it. Would you please smile at me again? One of the worst things about sadness is that it often follows us into the bedroom at night. When the lights go out in the room, the lights grow even dimmer in the soul, don't they? He says in verse 6, I am weary with my moaning every night. You see, we can stay busy during the day with work and all the errands we have to run, and we could distract ourselves in the day, but at night is when the soul likes to come out and play. At night is when the soul has nothing else to do but to ponder and to contemplate, and our mind races. Nights are the hardest. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. The basic meaning of, it's a rare Hebrew word I've read, it, the word floods there, but it means to swim in. So David paints a metaphor here of his, it's as though his bed is a swimming pool of sadness. I'm drowning in sadness. Maybe you can relate. It's been a long, hard season for many in our church family, hasn't it? There's been death and loss and divorce and financial insecurity. There are folks in our church just barely making ends meet because of inflation. There's been infidelity. Families have faced turmoil of various kinds. There's been anxiety, depression, funerals. I spoke with one dear elderly brother the other day who said he's been to 7 funerals in the past 2 months of people that he loves. And so as Christians, there's a time and a place where you just come together to be sad and to grieve. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice. That was last week's sermon. But then it also says, weep with those who weep. There are folks this morning in this room who just need a shoulder to cry on. And that's what the body of Christ is for. We all have different body parts, but we're all called to be shoulders, to bear one another's burdens, to be a shoulder that can be cried on. And this is why The writer of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 7, verse 2, this is always such a difficult verse for me to wrap my head around, but it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. Last Sunday, church felt like a house of feasting. We celebrated the Lord's Supper. We talked about the joy of the gospel and the hope of Jesus and forgiveness. But today, we're invited in by God to a house of mourning, which is just as appropriate and just as biblical and just as Christian. Sometimes when Christians come together, we need to clap and lift our hands and sing and dance and have loud, exuberant music. It's very appropriate. But other times when we come together, we just need to cry. And that's okay too. And here's what's hard. Here's what's sad. It's in spite of so many of the losses, we've all experienced at various levels at various points in our life. Life's all about seasons. For some of us right now, you're in a very good season, but you've been through hell, or you will be soon. You've either just come out of a trial, you're in a trial, or you're about to go into one. That is the human experience. But in spite of the losses we're all experiencing, some of us have never allowed ourselves to grieve. And it goes back to my cousin Chris's funeral. From the time we're born, many of us have been taught, you're not supposed to cry. Have faith in God. Be strong. They're in a better place. It'll get better tomorrow. Suck it up, buttercup. There are people in this room who were hurt or abused years ago. And you've never really allowed yourself to grieve. You felt the pressure to bottle it all up over the years. Some of us went through a divorce years ago. And you had so much pressure on you to be strong for the kids that you never really allowed yourself to grieve. Others of us have lost a family member months ago, years ago. And there was so much pressure to keep it together and to be strong at the funeral and for everybody else. But then we go back to work and we go back to life and we never truly grieved. But that stuff's all down in there. It's still there. And God invites us to bring it to Him. By not grieving, you don't allow your soul the chance to heal. Taylor Swift sings, Band-Aids can't fix bullet holes. Well, because you can't suffer in life and experience great loss and just hope it's going to go away on its own. Faking it till you make it will only take you so far. But God is a God who wants to heal. But God is a God who heals those who are willing to go to the doctor and to be honest about the condition of our soul. God created us to feel. This is part of the spiritual journey of Christ's likeness, to become like Jesus, who is fully God and fully human. Nobody felt more deeply than Jesus. Nobody got more sad than Jesus. Nobody hurt deeper than Jesus. So to become more like Jesus, we got to learn to feel like Jesus. And now this same merciful Christ who has felt and been to every funeral and experienced all the loss, this Jesus invites us to bring our tears to Him. Time does not heal all wounds. Christ does. Christ does. So just a couple words for weary Christians, and then we're going to pray together. We're going to pray for one another. Pastor Josh will lead us in some responsive prayers. We're going to sing some psalms of lament. So the service is reversed today, as you can tell. But we need to cry. To cry isn't just human, it is Christian. The inability to grieve is the inability to be human. It is the inability to be a Christian. You have to learn to grieve. Read the Psalms. 70% of the Psalms are sad songs of lament. David floods his bed with tears in today's text. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. The entire book of Lamentations in the Bible is nothing but tears, essentially. But more than that, Jesus, the God-man, wept. Isaiah said Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus didn't just cry, he cried a lot. So much so his life was characterized by sorrow in many ways. Nobody cried harder than Jesus. Nobody experienced pain and sadness more deeply than Jesus. People say big girls don't cry. Stiffen that upper lip. Be strong. You're a Christian. How can you say you trust God if you're sad? That's all nonsense. It's nonsense. It's not Christian. Not grieving is not having faith. Not grieving is just being terrified of feeling, which is actually a lack of faith that God can meet us in those feelings. Jesus is the one who, through Peter, says in 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxieties on me because I care for you. Jesus says, bring it on. I want you to be real with me. I'm not threatened by your emotion or your questions or your anger or sadness. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. But the unwillingness to let ourselves feel, our reluctance to cry, our unwillingness to grieve prevents us from experiencing the grace Jesus longs to give. In Psalm 34, the Bible says the Lord is near to who? He is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves who? Those who are crushed in spirit. See, there's a special grace for those that are sad, broken, and depressed, but you gotta take off the mask to receive the grace, because God is near to who? To the brokenhearted. Who does he save? Those who are crushed in spirit, not those who pretend as though we have it all together. I felt led late last night to add this little section into the message. So I hope the whole thing is from the Holy Spirit, but this one in particular, I feel like was something he impressed on my heart. So if the shoe fits, you can wear it. Some of us in our church, some of you are willing to cry for everybody else, but you've not been able to cry for yourself. You have such a big heart. You're so compassionate. You have the gift of mercy. You're always running to care for everybody else. You're always bearing everybody else's burdens. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But this morning, Christ wants you to know it's time for you to be cared for. Your pain matters to God too. He cares about your suffering too. He cares about your broken heart too. There's a special place in God's heart for you too. You're not just called to serve. You're called to be served. You don't have to be strong. God is just calling some of us this morning to fall apart in his arms. Someone this morning doesn't need to be the shoulder somebody else can cry on. You need to find a shoulder that you can cry on. And I want to encourage the rest of the body of Christ to be those shoulders this morning. Maybe even to intentionally in a few moments seek out in the congregation a brother or a sister and you know they need to grieve. Maybe they're not the kind that will ever initiate that because they're givers, they're not takers. And sometimes for that, my mom was that way. You had to force my mom to receive love and grace because all she wanted to do was give. She never wanted to talk about herself. She only wanted to love others. So, Mom, stop it, let us love you. Mom, you're dying. You don't have to deliver food to the poor. You can't breathe. Mom, it's okay. You don't have to go drive the church bus. You've got 3 months to live. Just let us serve you. Some of you this morning, you just need to let the body of Christ love you. You need to just receive. And so for those, for everybody else, I want you to seek those people. You know who they are. They never ask for anything. They're always doing. Seek them out. Hug them. Hold them. Pursue them this morning in love. Because part of the way we learn to grieve with others in their loss is to first learn to weep for our own loss. This was the model of Jesus. Jesus, Hebrews says, sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. Why? Because he experienced pain and loss himself. In Hebrews 5, during his earthly life, Jesus offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. It's not just okay to cry, it's Christ-like to cry. Somebody today needs to hear that you don't need to feel guilty or selfish for being sad. A few things the Lord put on my heart. Maybe you've been praying for a spouse for years. You're single, you long to be married. And you feel guilty that you're sad because you know that Jesus should be enough. But it's okay to be sad. After all, it was God who said, it's not good that man should be alone. Jesus cares. He's not judging you that you long to be married. Bring that to him. Perhaps someone is sad. You missed out on a dream job opportunity. You didn't get the promotion. You made it to the final two and you didn't get the job and you're devastated and you feel selfish that you're devastated. You feel kind of guilty because you're already blessed with a good job. And I just think the Lord wants you to know it's okay to grieve that. It's okay. He's your father, man. You're his kid. He loves you. He knows you're hurting. Perhaps there are others in our church and you've been longing to have children for years and you've not been able to and you're hurting. The Lord Jesus hurts with you. And he wants you to know this morning, it's okay to be sad. It's all right. Maybe you're here and man, you're facing a midlife crisis. Life's, you look up, you blink, and your life's over, halfway over. And it's just not, life's just not being what you thought it was gonna be. And you're sad. It's okay. Christ is a safe place for you to be honest. Maybe you're here and you're sick. You're facing chronic pain, autoimmune disease. Your body is just not doing what it's supposed to do. You've tried so hard, you can't lose the weight. You've tried so hard to get better, you can't. And you're just sad and you're mad and you're frustrated and the Lord wants you to know he cares. It's okay to be sad. He's gonna give you a brand new body one day. But in the meantime, he wants to hold the one that you have. So we need to cry. And then lastly, I just wanna encourage us, don't suppress the sadness down. I'm not trying to sound like a psychobabble here, but seriously, don't suppress the sadness down. Lift it up to your Father in honest confession and prayer. That is the biblical way to process grief. This is what is so telling about David in Psalm 6. In verse 3, he says, my soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? This is bold. David trusts his heavenly Father enough to be honest with him. God, where are you? You, Lord, how much longer? That's faith. Faith is, I trust God enough to be honest with him. And even after I'm honest, I have faith he'll still love me. It takes a lot more faith to do that than to just give God the silent treatment and frustration. God would rather hear an honest cry from his kids than a superficial prayer that's not even from the heart. And here's how we know this. It's because Jesus modeled it. in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he dies, the sadness and the nerves that Jesus Christ felt were so extreme, he had sweat drops of blood. And notice what Jesus says in Matthew 26 in the garden before he dies. Then he said to his followers, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, Jesus Christ fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus says, "I'm dying here. My soul is so sorrowful, even to the point of death." This is the epitome of sadness. Jesus is confronted with the reality that he is going to bear the sins of the world. He's going to take the judgment of God for our sins. He asked the Father three times, "Is there any other way, God?" Jesus doesn't hold back. He's honest with his Father. And even on the cross, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Where he quotes Psalm 22, by the way. Now, here's what Jesus teaches us. If you can't be honest with your Heavenly Father, who can you be honest with? Parents, when our kids are sad, we want them to come to us so that we can hold them. And all the more, our Heavenly Father longs to let us fill his lap with our tears because he's a good father. Hank Williams saying, "You're supposed to put the tear in your beer." Every country song. God says, "Cry the tears, but cry them out to me and let me put them in my bottle up in heaven." Did you know that God has a bottle too? It's not Jack Daniels. God has a bottle in heaven. And it's a bottle he keeps of all the tears of his children. The same David that wrote Psalm 6 wrote Psalm 56. Look at what it says. "God, you have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle." Some of us have an empty bottle in heaven because we've not truly grieved. But God is inviting us to fill up that bottle with tears. Just like a loving father, a loving mother wants to be the first their child runs to when they're hurting, so our Heavenly Father wants us to come to him. And here's why. Go back to verse 8 and then we're finished. "Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord," look, "he has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer." Notice the connection between tears and answered prayer. Notice what David says the Lord has heard and accepted, not just his words, but his tears. "He heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord accepts my prayer." God hears our prayers, but he feels our tears. When you're trying to get through to God and you feel like your prayers don't go past the ceiling, you've been there? Try to pray, you can't? Yeah. When you're depressed, prayer life's not good. When you're trying to get through to God, sometimes when everything else fails, tears will prevail. Sometimes tears are the means of grace God gives us to connect to his heart. Jesus' presence is the safest place in the world for us to fall apart. Carrie Underwood sings, "You gotta cry pretty." Not with Jesus, you don't. He won't judge you, he'll cry with you. Only in biblical Christianity is there a God who cries, because only in biblical Christianity is there a God who suffers and dies. Jesus doesn't just feel sorry for us when we're hurting. He takes that very pain and sadness on himself. In Isaiah 53, Jesus was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Every tear you've ever cried was placed in Jesus's eyes on the cross. He carried our sorrows, but he didn't just carry them then. He wants to carry them now. I believe this morning our Heavenly Father is leaning forward, longing to hear our cries. He's put it on the hearts of the leadership of our church. This is abrupt, like, it's, man, we had 4th of July. We're supposed to be all happy. We're doing fireworks last night. And it's just this abrupt shift in, like, coming to a house of mourning. Where's the fireworks? This is what the Spirit of God we sense has invited us into. He is encouraging us to take our tears and put them in his bottle in heaven. Are you willing to hit the release valve on your troubled soul? Are you willing to trust your Father with the most broken part of your story? Are you willing to grieve the abuse? Are you willing to grieve the divorce? The broken family? I think the Lord is calling us into that. Would you, let me invite our music team up. Let's begin to transition into our service. Again, this is gonna feel a little different than normal, so bear with us. We wanna really follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit as he teaches us to grieve together today. Minister team, I'll have you all come forward in just a few moments. You guys can hang on for now. If you would pull out your program, you should have received a program on the way in. As a congregation, I'd love for us just to walk through a time of lament together for a few moments. Now, this is something you're going to need to go home and do on your own time over the course of weeks and months, and probably with counseling or pastoral care as well. But I want us to get started this morning in a controlled environment here. I want to ask you to pray through two questions here. You'll see them in your program. You'll see them on your screen if you don't have a program. And I want you to bring these questions before the Lord. What are you sad about? What losses have you experienced? And look, I know for many of you, especially those of you that are parents or caregivers, and you're always asking everybody else this question. I want you to just ask this of the Lord about you. What are you sad about? Not your spouse, not your kids, not your, no, how are you doing? What losses have you experienced? And then what wound has been unable to heal because of the sadness you haven't let yourself feel? And some of us are still licking wounds from something that happened 20 years ago. Maybe today is the day you begin to heal. So before you write anything down, let's just bow our heads and let's bring these questions before the Lord. Would you just ask these questions of the Holy Spirit? Lord, what am I sad about? Lord, what losses have I experienced? And as things come to mind, I just encourage you to write them down there on your program. I want to encourage some of you to have the conversation with God right now you've been needing to have for a while, but you've not. And now is the time you have that conversation with him and you're honest about some things. Let's continue to keep our heads bowed. And I want you to continue that conversation with the Lord as long as you need to here. I want to ask our ministry team members, if you all would, to come forward at this time. Pastor Josh is going to lead us here through various things, and we're going to sing. But as we do that, for the duration of the service, we're going to have ministry team members available down here to pray for you. I'll be down here as well. This altar will be open for the remainder of the service. I just want to encourage you to come and pray. It's informal, as you feel led. Maybe it's during this next song. Maybe it's a couple songs from now. We've got tissue boxes here. I just want to encourage you to come and pray, to receive prayer. Maybe you're here and the Holy Spirit lays it on your heart to go pray over someone else. And because this is what I would really love to see, the body of Christ doing ministry together. You're here and you know someone in this room is suffering. And you know maybe they won't come forward for prayer. Maybe they're more reserved. They're not the kind to seek it out. I want to encourage you to be the body of Christ and go to them. You have freedom to, you can stand up anytime in this service and walk across the room. And maybe you just hug them. You don't have to say anything. Maybe you just give them a big hug and you say, I love you. Maybe you just put your arm on their shoulder and you say, can I pray for you, man? You don't have to create a scene. You don't have to drag them down here. Just you do what the Holy Spirit calls you to do. We're one big shoulder this morning. Let's bear our burdens together. There's freedom to grieve. There's freedom to come forward. There's freedom to move about the room. We're going to be singing, but if you want to remain seated at various points, you can. If you want to stand, you can. Pastor Josh will lead us, but I just want to encourage you to not get in the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life this morning. Father God, we surrender the rest of the service to you. Lord, do what you want to do. God, I pray for a spirit of freedom. Holy Spirit, would you just come and allow us to grieve and just to be a house. Lord, your word says it is better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting. God, this morning we mourn, we grieve. Bear these burdens with us and set us free. And God, may the journey to healing begin now. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.